6.
Stop it, stop it, stop it! I kept on screeching out. Turn it off, you grazny bastards, for I can stand no more.
It was the next day, brothers, and I had truly done my best, morning and afternoon, to play it their way and sit like a horror show smiling cooperative Malchick in the chair of torture while they flashed nasty bits of ultraviolence on the screen, my glazies clipped open to vidi all, my plot and rookers and nogas fixed to the chair so I could not get away. What I was being made to vidi now was not really a vesh that I would have thought to be too bad before, it being only 3 or 4 Malchicks crasting in a shop and filling their carmans with cutter, at the same time fillying about with the creeching starry patitsa running the shop, toll-chocking her and letting the red crovy flow, but the throb and like crash, 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 crash in my gulliver, and the wanting to be sick, and the terrible dry rasping thirstiness in my rot, all were worse than yesterday.
"Oh, I've had enough," I cried. "It's not fair, you vonny sods." And I tried to struggle out of the chair, but it was not possible, me being as good as stuck to it. "First class," screeched out this Dr. Brodsky. "You're doing really well. Just one more, and then we're finished."
What it was now was the starry 1939-45 war again, and it was a very blobby and liney and crackly film you could vidi had been made by the Germans. It opened with German eagles and the Nazi flag with that like crooked cross that all Malchicks at school loved to draw, and there were very haughty and nadmeny-like German officers walking through streets that were all dust and bomb holes and broken buildings. Then you were allowed to vidi ludies being shot against walls, officers giving the orders, and also horrible Nadjoy plots left lying in gutters, all like cages of bare ribs and white thin nogas. Then there were ludies being dragged off creeching, though not on the soundtrack, my brothers, the only sound being music, and being toll-chocked while they were being dragged off. Then I noticed, in all my pain and sickness, what music it was that, like, crackled and boomed on the soundtrack, and it was Ludwig van, the last movement of the Fifth Symphony, and I screeched like Bazzuni at that. "Stop!" I screeched. "Stop, you grazny, disgusting sods! It is a sin! That's what it is! A filthy, unforgivable sin, you bratchneys!" They didn't stop right away because there was only a minute or two more to go. Ludies being beaten up and all crovy, then more firing squads, then the old Nazi flag, and the end. But when the lights came on, this Dr. Brodsky and also Dr. Branham was standing in front of me, and Dr. Brodsky said, "What's all this about sin, eh?"
"That," I said, very sick, "using Ludwig van like that. He did no harm to anyone. Beethoven just wrote music."
And then I was really sick, and they had to bring a bowl that was in the shape of, like, a kidney.
"Music," said Dr. Brodsky, like, musing. "So you're keen on music? I know nothing about it myself. It's a useful emotional heightener. That's all I know. Well, well. What do you think about that, eh, Branham?"
"It can't be helped," said Dr. Branham. "Each man kills the thing he loves, as the poet Prisoner said. Here's the punishment element, perhaps. The governor ought to be pleased."
"Give me a drink," I said, "for bog's sake."
"Loosen him," ordered Dr. Brodsky. "Fetch him a carafe of ice-cold water."
So then these undervecs got to work, and soon I was peating gallons and gallons of water, and it was like heaven, oh my brothers. Dr. Brodsky said,
"You seem a sufficiently intelligent young man. You seem, too, to be not without taste. You've just got this violence thing, haven't you? Violence and theft, theft being an aspect of violence."
I didn't govery a single slovo, brothers. I was still feeling sick, though getting a malenky bit better now, but it had been a terrible day.
"Now then," said Dr. Brodsky,
How do you think this is done? Tell me, what do you think we're doing to you?
You're making me feel ill, I said. I'm ill when I look at those filthy, pervert films of yours. But it's not really the films that's doing it. But I feel that if you'll stop these films, I'll stop feeling ill.
Right, said Dr. Brodsky. It's association, the oldest educational method in the world. And what really causes you to feel ill?
These grazzy, sodding veshies that come out of my Gulliver and my plot, I said. That's what it is.
Quaint, said Dr. Brodsky, light smiling. The dialect of the tribe. Do you know anything of its provenance, Branham?
Odd bits of old rhyming slang? Said Dr. Branham, who did not look quite so much like a friend anymore.
A bit of gypsy talk, too, but most of the roots are Slav, propaganda, subliminal penetration. All right, all right, all right, said Dr. Brodsky, like impatient and not interested anymore. Well, he said to me, it isn't the wires. It's nothing to do with what's fastened to you. Those are just for measuring your reactions. What is it, then?
I vidded then, of course, what a bazoomy shoot I was not to notice that it was the hypodermic shots in the rooker.
Oh, I creeched, oh, I vidde all now, a filthy Kelly Vonny trick, an act of treachery, sod you, and you won't do it again.
I'm glad you've raised your objections now, said Dr. Brodsky. Now we can be perfectly clear about it. We can get this stuff of Ludovico's into your system in many different ways. Orally, for instance, but the subcutaneous method is the best. Don't fight against it, please. There's no point in your fighting. You can't get the better of us.
Grazny Brachnys, I said, like snivelling.
Then I said, I don't mind about the ultraviolence and all that, Cal. I can put up with that, but it's not fair on the music. It's not fair I should feel ill when I'm sloshing lovely Ludwig van and G.F. Handel and the others. All that shows you're an evil lot of bastards and I shall never forgive you, sods.
They both looked a bit like thoughtful. Then Dr. Brodsky said,
delimitation is always difficult. The world is one, life is one. The sweetest and most heavenly of activities partake in some measure of violence. The act of love, for instance, music, for instance. You must take your chance, boy. The choice has been all yours.
I didn't understand all these Slovos, but now I said, you needn't take it any further, sir. I changed my tune a malenky bit in my cunning way. You've proved to me that all this dratsing and ultraviolence and killing is wrong, wrong, and terribly wrong. I've learnt my lesson, sirs. I see now what I've never seen before. I'm cured, praise God. And I raised my glazies in a like holy way to the ceiling, but both these doctors shook their gullivers like sadly, and Dr. Brodsky said,
you're not cured yet. There's still a lot to be done. Only when your body reacts promptly and violently to violence as to a snake, without further help from us, without medication, only then.
I said, but sirs, I see that it's wrong. It's wrong because it's against like society. It's wrong because every Vec on Earth has the right to live and be happy without being beaten and toll-chocked and knife. I've learnt a lot. Oh, really, I have.
Dr. Brodsky had a loud, long smack at that, showing all his white zoobies, and said,
the heresy of an age of reason, or some such Slovos. I see what is right, and I approve, but I do what is wrong. No, no, my boy, you must leave it all to us. But be cheerful about it. It will soon be all over. In less than a fortnight now, you'll be a free man.
Then he patted me on the plecho. Less than a fortnight.
Oh, my brothers and friends, it was like an age. It was like from the beginning of the world to the end of it. To finish the 14 years with remission in the stature would have been nothing to it. Every day it was the same. When the Dvotchka with the hypodermic came round, though, 4 days after this gover eating with Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Branham, I said, oh, no, you won't. And toll-chocked her on the rooker, and the syringe
went tinkle clatter onto the floor. That was like to Viddy what they would do. What they did was to get four or five real bolshy white-coated bastards of Undervex to hold me down on the bed, toll-chocking me with grinny litzos close to mine, and then this nurse Petitza said, "You wicked, naughty little devil, you," while she jabbed my rooker with another syringe and squirted this stuff in real brutal and nasty, and then I was wheeled off exhausted to this, like, hell cine. Every day, my brothers, these films were like the same, all kicking and toll-chocking and red crovy, dripping off litzos and plots and spattering all over the camera lenses. It was usually grinning and smecking Malchiks in the height of Nadsat fashion, or else tee-hee-heeing Jap torturers or brutal Nazi kickers and shooters. And each day, the feeling of wanting to die with the sickness and Gulliver pains and aches in the zoobies and horrible thirst grew really worse, until one morning I tried to defeat the bastards by crashing my Gulliver against the wall so that I should toll-chop myself unconscious, but all that happened was I felt sick with viddying that this kind of violence was like the violence in the film, so I was just exhausted and was given the injection and was wheeled off like before. And then there came a morning when I woke up and had my breakfast of eggs and toast and jam and very hot milky chai, and then I thought, it can't be much longer now. Now must be very near the end of the time. I have suffered to the heights and cannot suffer any more. And I waited and waited, brothers, for this nurse Petitza to bring in the syringe, but she did not come. And then the white-coated undervet came and said, "Today, old friend, we are letting you walk." "Walk," I said, "where?" "To the usual place," he said. "Yes, yes, look not so astonished. You are to walk to the films, me with you, of course. You are no longer to be carried in a wheelchair." "But," I said, "how about my horrible morning injection?" For I was really surprised at this, brothers, they being so keen on pushing this Ludovico Vesh into me, as they said, "Don't I get that horrible sticky stuff rammed into my poor suffering rooker any more?" "All over," like smacked this feck, "for ever and ever, amen. You're on your own now, boy, walking and all to the Chamber of Horrors, but you're still to be strapped down and made to see. Come on then, my little tiger." And I had to put my overgown and toofles on and walk down the corridor to the like cinemesto. Now, this time, oh my brothers, I was not only very sick, but very puzzled. There it was again. All the old ultraviolence and vex with their Gullivers smashed and torn, crovy dripping petitzas creeching for mercy, the like private and individual fillying and nastiness. Then there were the prison camps and the Jews and the grey light foreign streets full of tanks and uniforms and vex going down in withering rifle fire, this being the public side of it. And this time I could blame nothing for me feeling sick and thirsty and full of aches except what I was forced to viddy, my glazies still being clipped open and my nogas and plot fixed to the chair, but this set of wires and other veshies no longer coming out of my plot and Gulliver. So what could it be but the films I was viddying that were doing this to me? Except, of course, brothers, that this Ludovico stuff was like a vaccination. And there it was, cruising about in my crovy, so that I would be sick always, for ever and ever, amen, whenever I vidded any of this ultraviolence. So now I squared my rot and went boo-hoo-hoo. And the tears, like, blotted out what I was forced to viddy in, like, all blessed, runny, silvery dewdrops. But these white coat brachnies were scorry with their tashtooks to wipe the tears away, saying, "There, there, wasm's all weepy-weepy den." And there it was again, all clear before my glazies, these Germans prodding like beseeching and weeping Jews, vex and chinas and malchiks and devotchkas, into mestos where they would all snuff it of poison gas. Boo-hoo-hoo, I had to go again, and along they came to wipe the tears off, very scorry, so I should not miss one solitary vesh of what they were showing. It was a terrible and horrible day, oh my brothers and only friends.
I was lying on the bed, all alone, that notchy, after my dinner of fat, thick mutton stew and fruit pie and ice cream, and I thought to myself, hell, hell, hell. There might be a chance for me if I get out now. I had no weapon, though. I was allowed no Britva here, and I had been shaved every other day by a fat, bald-headed vec who came to my bed before breakfast. Two white-coated Brachnys standing by to video I was a good, non-violent Malchik. The nails on my rookers had been scissored and filed real short so I could not scratch. But I was still scorry on the attack, though they had weakened me down, brothers, to a light shadow of what I had been in the old 3 days. So now I got off the bed and went to the locked door and began to fist it real horror show and hard, creeching at the same time.
Oh, help, help, I'm sick, I'm dying. Doctor, 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 quick, please. Oh, I'll die, I know I shall. Help.
My gorlo was real dry and sore before anyone came. Then I heard Nogas coming down the corridor and a, like, grumbling galos, and then I recognised the galos of the white-coated vec who brought my pishka and, like, escorted me to my daily room. He, like, grumbled,
"What is it? What goes on? What's your little nasty game in there?"
"Oh, I'm dying,"
I, like, moaned.
"Oh, I have a ghastly pain in my side. Appendicitis, it is. Oh!"
"Appendy shithouse," grumbled this vec. And then to my joy, brothers, I could slushy the, like, clank of keys.
"If you're trying it, little friend, my friends and me will beat and kick you all through the night." Then he opened up and brought in, like, the sweet air of the promise of my freedom. Now, I was, like, behind the door when he pushed it open, and I could vidy him in the corridor light looking round for me, puzzled. Then I raised my two fisties to toll-chock him on the neck, nasty, and then, I swear, as I sort of vidied him in advance, lying moaning or out, 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 and felt the, like, joy rise in my guts, it was then that this sickness rose in me as it might be a wave, and I felt a horrible fear as if I was really going to die. I, like, tottered over to the bed, going, and the vec, who was not in his white coat but an overgown, vidded clear enough what I had had in mind, for he said, "Well, everything's a lesson, isn't it? Learning all the time, as you could say. Come on, little friend, get up from that bed and hit me. I want you to, yes, really, a real good crack across the jaw. Oh, I'm dying for it, really I am." But all I could do, brothers, was just lay there, sobbing, "Boo, hoo, hoo." "Scum," like sneered this vec now, "filth." And he pulled me up by the scruff of my pyjama top, me being very weak and limp, and he raised and swung his right rooker so that I got a fair old toll chock clean on the lit. "So that," he said, "is for getting me out of my bed, you young dirt." And he wiped his rookers against each other, swish, swish, and went out. Crunch, crunch, went the key in the lock. And what, brothers, I had to escape into sleep from then was the horrible and wrong feeling that it was better to get the hit than give it. If that vec had stayed, I might even have, like, presented the other cheek.